From the WLRN Miami Herald Newsroom, I'm Christine DeMattei. Every Monday, we bring you stories about education from our partners at State Impact Florida. This year marks the 60th anniversary of the Brown v. Board of Education ruling, and with it, the promise of desegregated schools. But not all classrooms today reflect that diversity. Educator Jeremy Glazer taught in Florida schools for years. He brings us this essay about the legacy of Brown in his own career.
Here's a question. How do you teach a class of all-black students in an all-black school that Brown versus Board of Education ended segregation decades ago? That isn't a hypothetical question, but one I remember clearly asking myself. I was teaching American history for the first time in one of our nation's many embarrassingly homogeneous schools. I could not, with a straight face, teach my students that segregation had ended. They'd think that either they or I didn't know what the word segregation meant. But, as a beginning teacher, I was afraid of telling too much truth. Brown's legacy is not a hopeful story about law, government, or progress. It seemed like a particularly cruel lesson in power, racism, and injustice. I wanted to be both honest and gentle to my students, and probably failed at both. I bumbled my way through that particular year in that particular school, but the question of segregation comes up again and again for me. Brown has always been in the background, whatever my students look like. And they've looked very different. I've been privileged to teach in a wide range of environments, city schools, suburban schools, public schools, and private, and I've worked with a wide range of students. In my travels, I've found that mixed schools are exceedingly rare. That's unfortunate, because if we're ever going to be a truly multicultural, tolerant society, we need to start by sitting next to each other. But proximity itself isn't the answer. It's just the beginning. Real mixing doesn't automatically happen, even if different students are brought together. I learned this lesson in a suburban school filled with a range of ethnic groups. There, I had an English class of mostly black and brown students first thing in the morning. I could never get them to listen to the announcements, and one day I asked why they weren't interested in the events going on in the school. One kid told me, "Those things aren't for us. Those are for the other kids." It was clear he meant the middle-class white kids, and that even though Brown had succeeded in desegregating this school in body, we had failed to do so in spirit. I continue to believe in the ideals behind Brown, which I think call for a truly democratic, equitable public school system. That doesn't just mean putting different kinds of kids near each other. Physical desegregation is only the first of many steps. There's a lot of work after that. But the longer we put off that first step, the further behind we fall. In education, I see too many people looking to find silver bullets in vouchers, charter schools, or even court decisions. There are no silver bullets. Schools can be a beacon, but more often, they are a mirror. They show us who we are. As long as we live in a country where most of us only spend time with those who look like us, segregation remains a nightmare from which our schools cannot wake us. If we truly want to desegregate, then those of us with the power to choose need to decide that we no longer want to live separate, unequal lives.
Jeremy Glazer is a former South Florida school teacher. He's working on a doctorate in education at Stanford University. From the WLRN Miami Herald Newsroom, I'm Christine DeMattei.